I feel like the enemy has won a battle in the stigma.
Yeah.
How dark of a place are you in, and how people don't know mm-hmm. because you're hiding it, because you think somehow you're weak. I think yeah. that's the clincher.
Yeah. And especially as a new mom, you're thinking, I have to be.
What do I have to be sad about?
Yeah. And
women
I kept telling
trying
myself
to get pregnant
that.
And I finally. Yeah. Yeah.
And all the trouble I went through to get pregnant. I'm like, what on earth is wrong with me?
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This week, we continue a series called Captive that focuses on 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And each week, we'll unpack a small segment of that scripture. Today, we continue looking at the weapons of our warfare. Last week, we talked about the weapons and focused on Ephesians 6 to support that conversation. This week, we're having some heartfelt conversations about the warfare. We're praying for you right now if you're struggling with mental and emotional warfare. We sincerely hope this Bible study can help you with that.
I'm going to go ahead into warfare. Nancy, last time we were together, you had shared some things that you felt you wanted to circle back to.
Yeah, clarify maybe.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to do what you're about to do, clarifying the difference between what Romy's talking about, mm-hmm. which is being intentional, mm-hmm. managing your thoughts, praying that God would help you. God is faithful to that.
Yes.
But then there's also a point where you need a little more.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of go back to what the conversation was, we got on the subject of the difference between the dark places we find ourselves in here and there in seasons or day to day, as opposed to clinical depression mm-hmm. and a need for medical intervention. And I have to kind of go back and say, I come from a family that has a lot of either depression on one side or the other extreme is severe anxiety issues. And I did grow up with a tendency to get depressed, to get down, to feel blue. And the difference after I had my children was a complete lack of control, as opposed to having this ability to see that you could take a thought captive, or it was this feeling of the blueness turned into black, mm. and there was an inability even some mornings to get up and see a purpose, and there was no reason for it. I had two beautiful children. I had the dream of my life to stay home and with my children. I had wonderful friends around me, a Christian group that I was a part of. After my daughter was born, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't really feel that I had my personal salvation until after my daughter was born. And I just found each day almost physically painful.
Debilitating.
And when you think about that feeling in your head, I can compare it very easily to a physical illness. Mm-hmm. There is, if you had a physical illness, if you had heart trouble or if you had a broken leg, you don't just try to toughen up and work your way through it.
Power through it.
Yeah. Or even, not that there isn't healing prayers that are out there, but you go to a doctor and you get a medical evaluation and you find a plan to treat it. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point where every little thing, it's kind of like when you have the flu. Think about when you have the flu or when you have a cold, and every little task in life just seems monumental. Mm-hmm. You know, getting up and making breakfast is just so physically draining. I actually got a phone call from my sister out of the blue. My daughter was about to turn 3, talking about, you know, and I had friends and family who had children the same age as mine, and said, what are you going to do about preschool for Mackenzie? And I thought, preschool? Like, all of a sudden, this simple thing was just like, my whole life just felt out of control. I thought, like, what an awful mother I am. What a horrible, like, I don't deserve any of this. The world's better off without me kind of feeling. And it becomes just very all about you. It's very, it was just overwhelming, and I completely lost it. And I had been hiding it for so long. Like, I would cry in private. my kids would see it because they were too little to say anything. There were a lot of physically detrimental things I was doing to myself. I was hurting myself, and I was hiding it, and I just, all of a sudden, like floodgates, I couldn't hide it, and I just sobbed on the phone, and my sister is like, what's going on? What am I missing? And my sister is the kind of person who, when there's a trauma going on, she's like the one that's right on it. And she was working at, right around the corner. She's like, I'll be right over. Hangs up the phone. There she is. And she's like, we're going to the doctor right now. And I'm like, what do you mean we're going? She's like, you need help. Now, this is coming from a family who we've been, many of us have been medicated. So it's not like it was a, she knew. Mm-hmm. She knew what was going on. My sister herself suffers more anxiety. She's not the depressed kind. But she knew right away that
she knew the signs.
This was beyond talking through it and beyond a bad day. This was a need for medical intervention. So I went to the doctor. Now, I had been through psychotherapy years and years before I was a Christian. And I was kind of at the point, I'm like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Talking it out isn't going to help me.
Yeah.
There's something going on in my head and I can't fix it. Mm-hmm. It's like having a physical illness. You can't just get through the flu. You have to ride it out. But like when you have a bacterial infection, your body needs antibiotics. Mm-hmm. It needs something to fight
it. Or wasn't you who said diabetes?
Well, diabetes, you need your insulin every day. Mm-hmm. You need your body.
You can't just power through
your
it.
Body can't balance the sugar mm-hmm. itself. It needs medical intervention. Well, here my brain chemically, probably, from the pregnancies, I was postpartum. It went on for a couple of years before I finally just
leveled out.
Yeah. And I tried to be, I didn't want to be depressed. I didn't want to go there again. I mean, I had been depressed in the past, but this was, and I just didn't want to be weak again.
This is why it's so complicated. Mm-hmm. If you broke your leg, you wouldn't hide that.
Right.
The stigma.
Yes.
I feel like the enemy has won a battle in the stigma.
Yeah.
How dark of a place are you in, and how people don't know? Mm-hmm. Because you're hiding it, because you think somehow you're weak. I think that's the clincher.
Yeah, and especially as a new mom, you're thinking, I have to be...
What do I have to be sad about?
Yeah, and
women
I kept telling
trying
myself
to get pregnant
that.
And I finally... Yeah. Yeah.
And all the trouble I went through to get pregnant, I'm like, what on earth is wrong with me?
Why aren't I happy?
Then when I got, was willing to try medicine, I realized I had an ability to fight that and fill the voids that were,
But what was going on in your brain and what was going on in your brain are two totally different. Like, you had the neurons flashing through your brain saying, hey, mm-hmm. your thought is this, and it connects to the other one. Clinically depressed brains, they have a complete darkness.
Yes.
They have, the darkness of, the brain does not communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. It's like when your computer has a virus. It's completely, disconnected. Mm-hmm. It's having, one part of the brain is trying to communicate to the others, hey – Hello.
The bridge
and
is
it's
out.
It's done.
The bridge is out.
Yeah. And that's why the medication is important, because it starts lighting those things up to mm-hmm. give you the abilities to start, communicating mm-hmm. one another. And sometimes we have to start from the basics and clear off the flash drive completely and just go back to the factory setting.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is.
It's a great analogy.
And I feel like society sometimes, because it's not a physical thing that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't smell. Mm-hmm. They think it's just get over it. We try to hide it because we become ashamed of it.
Yeah.
And then because our thoughts are our own time, no one actually thinks, here's what we have to say. We just put a fake smile on. Mm-hmm. We put this is a shell. Mm-hmm. And, no one can see the inside and the hurting that we have. And then, no one can understand, what we have, because I won't understand what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't understand because I'm not you.
Right.
I don't understand how your brain works because I'm not in your system.
Right.
But all I could do is share my story. Maybe my story could help others and what
exactly.
they do.
Yeah.
But, I just think that society nowadays, because it's not a physical thing that they could touch, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think people need to be aware of that.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons why our internal struggles don't see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought what Romy said, it's not just a bad day.
Right.
But I think that's where the devil lies the most.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the devil will jump in on that weakness and completely expose it and try and take it over and take it to a whole different level.
Because all he does is he waits for that one word.
Yep.
That you're having, even if it's a react, he'll sit there and he'll wait.
Yeah.
And then it becomes It's not like a little simple thing. It's like a wave.
Yeah.
It's like, I got you now. Like,
but I
go.
Also think it's important to pray that God will allow that thought to flee too, because I think sometimes, and I'm not saying this regularly happens, but I do, God will allow the enemy to do things to you to help
absolutely.
You grow.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so if you need to get stronger in your faith because you're weak when it comes to prayer, or God knows where your weaknesses mm-hmm. are, I think he will allow it to a point to where he knows that you can handle. Mm-hmm. So you can grow in faith, and you can grow in him, and you can grow in his word, and you get into the sword of the Spirit and the word of God, and God wants you to do things that you may not be doing so you can be a stronger Christian and a stronger follower of Christ. So although we don't like it sometimes, and maybe we don't want to go through that, part of my prayer life, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I specifically ask God to help me through those times when he's putting me through things, and to guide me on the right track so I know exactly why he's allowing mm-hmm. it, and that I don't let the enemy take that over, and that he will allow the enemy to flee, you know, as soon as possible.
It's like, I always say, yeah, I'm the same way. I always say, God, when something comes into my life, I'm like, I want to sit down, stop in my tracks and say, just tell me what the lesson is. I want to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
I want this to be over quickly.
Yes.
I don't want
exactly.
it to be prolonged or any right. more painful than it has to be. And I'm all about like digging up the lesson early in the process so I don't have to go through that.
I want to backtrack for a minute. And I'm not picking on what you said, but when you said that he knows we can handle, I think that's a fallacy.
Yeah.
I think God will bring stuff into our lives that he knows darn right well we can't handle.
Yeah.
And the reason he's going to do that
so we depend on
is because
him.
We know he can handle.
I'm so glad yeah. you said that.
Because
when my mom died, everybody used to say, don't worry. Yeah. God doesn't give us anything we can't handle.
Yeah.
And I more than once exploded.
Yeah.
When that's, you said you that's have a trigger. Lot. What was your trigger? Get over it.
Get over
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like it, mine we all have trigger words.
Mine mm-hmm. is God doesn't give us anything we can't handle. And the truth is, life is full of things we can't handle. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said that because I didn't want to beat on my pet peeve again. But it's yeah. true. It's okay. So let me be more drilled down. Mm-hmm. It says in the Bible, God does not let us into temptation. That is uncommon to man. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't leave us that we will overcome it. And that's misrepresented as God doesn't give us anything
right.
that we can't handle. That's temptation is a very different mm-hmm. animal mm-hmm. than grief or mental illness or loss of a child. God forbid. I can't handle those things. Mm-hmm. There's no way someone is equipped in life to handle the loss of a child,
no.
the tragic loss of a child.
No.
Oh, you're specially equipped to handle that.
Yeah.
So you'll be fine. That's not true.
No.
That's not true. None of us are equipped to handle that, except that the Spirit of Christ that lives in us, through him, we can do all things.
The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is strong.
Well,
yeah.
And I guess that's kind of what I meant more.
No,
that,
I know. And
no,
I,
didn't
know
really
Nancy
pick on,
didn't,
yeah,
no,
I didn't
no,
want
no,
to pick
not at all.
On
but
yeah.
I don't
I think
want
it's an
it
important
to be
distinction.
Misrepresented
no,
what I was intending
I know
to,
I know that's what you
deliver.
Meant and I think Nancy
yeah.
knows that's
no,
what
I'm
you
glad
meant.
You spelled that out
yeah.
because if it came across that way
well
I,
and it,
I
listen
think
remember that we
ultimately I think that whatever we're going through that we can't handle ultimately God wants us to depend on him to get
yes.
through it
yeah
and we are going to go through stuff we can't handle mm-hmm. but he will never let us if we rely on
yes.
him
he will never
and
leave
we lean on him
right.
He will pull us through that.
That's right.
Look
so,
at Job. Sometimes
so
it's
think,
minute by minute, too.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
sometimes you just can't even look ahead too far because
we know that God does allow
yeah.
adversity into our lives to develop us and sanctify us in righteousness through his son, like Job, mm-hmm. like when Jesus was sitting at the Last Supper and said to Peter, "Oh, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you come back, strengthen your brothers. So he was saying, Peter, this is going to happen to you. Satan has asked and I've given permission.
Well, that's Satan's on a leash.
And yes,
yeah.
which is comforting.
Yeah.
But
God.
To the point, He is given. And don't forget, guys, we live in the world that's his dominion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's two kingdoms in this world.
Oh, yeah.
There's the kingdom of God, which you must step into. Mm-hmm. And there's the kingdom of the enemy. And it says all over the Bible that Satan has been given dominion over this mm-hmm. world for a time. Mm-hmm. And he's frustrated because his time is short. Yeah. We feel like it's too long.
Yeah.
But Satan wants it to be forever. So he wants this world to be his forever. It's not. He knows that. God knows that. But it is his for a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like we said at the very outset, it's when the battle right. happens to mm-hmm. you, not if. We're in the battle right now, even though we're in our little Bible study bubble right now. We're in the battle.
Right.
And things will happen that we can't handle. And I think the idea, of course, the reason that I memorized this scripture is because, not because I want to show off that I have scripture memorized, because who cares what I need.
That's what God wants you to do. He wants us to meditate in his word.
What Joshua 1:8.
Yeah.
Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. You're right. But more than that, I'd like to say I do it to please God also. But the truth is, I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I need it all through the day. Mm-hmm. And I need to know, even when I'm driving in my car and I can't pull up my Bible or else I'm going to wreck.
Yeah.
I need it in my heart and in my mind, and I need to have it memorized. And the reason that we all choose scripture to memorize that's relevant and speaks into our own personal experience with life and with our Lord. But this one, to me, I was like, oh, that one I need all the mm-hmm. time. All the time. So that I can speak over it in the middle of the day when I feel like life is crowding in mm-hmm. and the battle is happening and I'm feeling the battle and I know it and I'm being intentional about praying over it and managing my thoughts. I need to know that God promised me he will help me.
Yeah.
And without knowing that, you don't know his truth. So you don't know what is a lie and what is
truth. That's true.
That's very important.
Yeah, a great point.
But I find it interesting.
As much as you can know.
But I find it interesting that God gives us all the tools. Like he told your sister-in-law to say something to you.
Yeah.
And you chose to keep it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And then your sister, was your sister?
Mm-hmm.
Was the one that called you mm-hmm. and snapped it and mm-hmm. I'm coming.
Ask so like a simple question, yeah.
You know, so it's more like, but you chose to take it. Mm-hmm. So like it could be easily for all of us to be like, yeah, I don't have to listen to that. You know, we are still flesh.
I'm raising my hand because I still do that.
Yeah.
I still reject it. We think often about this one time acceptance or rejection.
No, mm-hmm. it's constant.
It's all day long. Mm-hmm. Am I going to accept God's promises and God's dominion and God's sufficiency in my life, or am I going to reject it?
Because we have to remember that it's not just the devil. He doesn't control us. We're not the puppets. We have the flesh that's messed up. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the...
We participate.
Like, it's not just... I don't want to just say, like, the devil made me do it. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are accountable. You did it. You chose to do it. You chose to say those things. You chose it. You allowed it to happen.
Right.
And I think it's important that the helmet is always with us, but at the end of the day... We are broken,
yeah.
and we can't do it alone.
What we were talking about a little while ago, there's one, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Of course, it's useful whether you ever speak it, but isn't it so much more? I mean, I wish I could think. It's Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah, where God says, "Is not my word like fire?" When we, of course, James 3 talks all about how we use our mouth to, you know. What we were talking about earlier, Allie, about actively holding on to God's word, actively being intentional, like Romy's talking about, the idea of making a conscious decision about engaging. Mm-hmm. Being
Jeremiah
23. Jeremiah 23?
Yeah, verse 9.
Read it.
Is not my word like fire, declared the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. That's the New International Version.
Yeah. So, Allie, I think you're 1,000% right that it's our, you know, we're really all kind of saying the same thing. The intentionality of how we handle what comes into our lives. But I guess the point of this Bible study series is never for us to forget that we can be intentional all day long and we're still weak. Mm-hmm. and unable. But God has promised us that he will be alongside us, around us, within us. To give us what we need, equip us with the weapons that we need, because they are not weapons of this world. They are weapons fashioned by the creator of the universe, and all we need to do is engage them.
Hi, this is Holly. This is a tricky topic, taking our thoughts captive. So we're diving in deeper with some mental health professionals. We want you to know that we understand the tension between taking thoughts captive and just not being able to do that without some help. Thank you to Danielle and Leanne for being here. Let's start with introductions.
My name is Danielle Jean-Pierre, and I'm a licensed professional counselor. And that's, I guess, the title that the secular world has given me. And I have a practice, which I believe is my ministry that God has given me. And I work with individuals and families and couples addressing mental health issues.
I'm Leanne Doyle. I am guidance counselor and crisis counselor by occupation and schooling. I am currently working with adolescents in high school in crisis sense. So I triage and help people find the resources that they need and kind of triage where they are in crisis and try to help them find the resources to get the help that they need. It's in a secular world, but I rely on the Holy Spirit a tremendous amount.
There are people who are in God's word every day, and they are just mentally not well, and they feel lost, and they feel God has abandoned them. If you can't hear God, if you're just broken, if your head is somehow broken, how do you seek the Lord? How do you let him wash over you?
I think that, and it depends on what we're talking about. If we look at like clinical depression, if you haven't gone through that, you know, it's very easy for you to just say, oh, snap out of it, you know, just... It's not about snapping out of it. It's a real mental, chemical thing that's going on. And so I think sometimes when we look at the church or the body of believers, and I think, and this is with all due respect, but I think that for us as believers, and the church has done a disservice sometimes to people struggling with mental illness. And it causes people not to seek help because they've kind of been told, well, all you have to, you just have to pray, you know, fast and be in the word and you'll be okay. Or maybe you've opened up a door and so, you know, something has happened and now you're going through some spiritual warfare and so you need to do this and all the spiritual weapons that, you know, we talked about. But I don't think it's an either or. I don't think it's just using spiritual principles. I think that it's, you know, because we're dealing with the real medical, mental, physiological, chemical thing that's going on, particularly with major mental illnesses, you know, and we look at whether it's depression or bipolar, but also the psychotic type of mental illnesses of schizophrenia, schizoaffective, those kinds of things where people are just not in touch with reality.
Yeah.
They can't just sit and pray this away.
That's right.
You know, and so I think...
Nor can their parents.
Nor the, yes, nor. Their
friends.
Yes.
Or
the people that love them.
Yeah. And so I think we've kind of done a disservice sometimes as the body of the church to put that message across because it leads to a lot of guilt and shame and not reaching out for help. So I think that we have to begin to, like, look at mental illness as a real illness. And certainly I do believe it does have some spiritual components, but I think we have to look at it as a real medical, you know, just like if someone had cancer, you wouldn't tell them, oh, you don't need medicine, just pray. And, you know, we separate the two.
Yeah.
We separate the physical,
so
medical issues versus the mental issues.
And it's not that any of us are putting God in a box.
Right.
That if he wanted to heal you from
Absolutely,
your cancer,
right.
from your broken
Absolutely.
Leg, from your mental illness, he can and will.
Absolutely.
But we shouldn't expect, I guess is what I'm hearing you say, that if we had more faith, this wouldn't
That's
be
right.
a problem.
Right. That's right. I'll tell you a really great website, www.findchristiancounselor.com. If you're looking for a Christian counselor,
.org.com.
If you're struggling with mental health issues, we have additional resources on our website, studywithfriends.org. Click on the Captive series under the Bible Study tab. For more immediate help, specifically in the area of self-harm, please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire Captive series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Because the battle for our thoughts is an ongoing one, this is a good CD series to have, and we want you to have access to it. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you next time on Study with Friends.